Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:02, and we have Kyle Freeberg in the studio today. So he is Wrangell's wildlife trooper, and you can call in to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. We are doing our call-ins a little different to calling in. We won't be patching you through on the air, but we can still take your questions. Definitely, if you want to ask Kyle anything, you know, please take the opportunity to do so. So, Kyle, thank you for coming on air today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, I think a lot of people know you, but maybe a lot of people don't. So just go ahead and give me a rundown of where you came from, why you decided to come here, things like that.
Yeah, so we were in Fairbanks before coming here. I am married to a beautiful girl named Anna, and she and I have three kids. McCoy is our oldest. He's 5. Broden is in the middle. He is 3, and Connie is our youngest. She's 1, and we have 1 on the way, expecting in February.
Oh, boy.
So we were, yeah. We're excited, but we were in Fairbanks before this, and we were there for about 5 years. After being in Fairbanks for 3 years or so, I really felt like I was supposed to be in law enforcement and started moving towards law enforcement, and I thought, if I'm going to be a police officer, I want to be a state trooper, and if I'm going to be a state trooper, I want to be a wildlife trooper, and kind of things lined up and everything worked out, and it's been an exciting ride. And I was in Fairbanks for a year. And the way it kind of works with the troopers is people think that it's like the military, where they kind of force you to move around. They tell you where to go. It's not exactly like that. However, if you don't move within the first 5 years and there's a position that's open and nobody wants to go, there's a chance that they can send you there. But once you've moved, once you've kind of done your initial, like they call it a geographic relocation. So once you've moved your first time, they can't force you anywhere. So I knew that it was coming, that if I didn't go somewhere that I might be forced to go somewhere. So I kind of looked at what was available and wanted to make the decision while it was still mine to make. And they were having a hard time finding somebody to come to Wrangell. You know, it's a small town. A lot of people like Alaska, but they want to stay in the bigger cities. And so I thought that I'd have a chance of getting here, and sure enough, I did. So I ended up here, and I'm excited that we are in rural Alaska and in Southeast Alaska. There's a lot of things here that are exactly what I've wanted for me and for my family. I didn't grow up by the ocean, but I love the water, and I'm excited for my kids to have the Tongass to grow up in and have the ocean to learn how to drive a skiff at a young age and learn how to fish and how to put meat in the freezer. And not that we couldn't do those types of things elsewhere. I just love what a place like this means for our family. So that's kind of what got us here specifically to Wrangell. I do feel very strongly about my job, about the management of the resources. Obviously, a lot of people think that I am fish and game. In fact, I just ran into somebody a little bit ago who they said, oh yeah, and they mentioned, well, you're fish and game, right? And I said, well, technically, no. Technically, I'm a state trooper, so the Department of Public Safety. So the fish and game comes up with the rules, and then I am the one who has to enforce those rules. So we definitely work together, obviously have to work together, and there's a lot that we do together, but we're not technically the same agency. I do answer when people refer to me as fish and game because I understand that people do that, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on here. The job here in Wrangell is easily tenfold what it was in Fairbanks, just the different types of responsibilities.
You mean it's varied? You have to do everything.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in Fairbanks, some of the differences, obviously there was no ocean in Fairbanks, so there was that. There was less going on. If there's no hunting, then there's trapping, and if there's no trapping, there's sport fishing, and that's, I don't want to simplify it too much, but that's pretty much what there was in the interior. And there's a lot of those things, and there's more people doing those things. But down here, it's all those things plus commercial fishing. And what I didn't realize till coming down here is that commercial fishing is not simply commercial fishing. It's trolling, it's beam trawling, it's pot shrimp, it's dungy, there's so many different levels of all the dive fisheries, which I was gone for some of them, so now I kind of missed that this year. But there's just so many different levels and so many different rules that I'm constantly asking people, hey, you know, what's going on right now? Like, what, help me out here so that I can kind of be informed and on top of it. But not only that, I'm the only one here. So in Fairbanks, there was a lot of, we had admin people to answer the phones, people to kind of screen calls, people to kind of do kind of the background work. And here, it's all me. So I end up doing a lot of stuff that isn't just going out and patrolling, which is really difficult, but I really like that because everything that happens here on the island, it's me. So I can really kind of make it my own thing, which allows me to have, I kind of have some, maybe I'm just ambitious, but I kind of have some goals here, some long-term goals for Wrangell, and I'm hoping that the community can see those and that we can move in a good direction here.
Yeah. Well, it definitely sounds like if you are the one guy that we have, Kyle, that, you know, if you have goals, you can make them happen. I mean, basically, you're not just a cog. You have a lot of authority for one person. And so, yeah, so you mentioned patrolling is probably what people think of you doing, but what are these other things besides patrolling?
So right now there is what I see in the future, hopefully, for these other things is doing a lot more teaching, instructing, maybe having some classes for kids about safety, firearm safety, about hunting, about wilderness skills, just spreading some knowledge and just really connecting with the community about being out in the backcountry. I mean, that's part of why a lot of us are here, is we love to be out. And so I would love to be a resource for the community to help us be out and to be out safely. And obviously, along with that is enforcing the rules that are required to be able to be out and use our resources wisely and prudently. So
as far as educating in whatever manner, do give me a sense of, is there anything that's, you know, coming down the pipe, that anything you would want to start out with?
I don't have anything that's kind of pending or kind of ready to be launched. I'm still kind of in the phase of really trying to get my feet underneath me here. And I think after my first year here, once I've seen most things kind of go through one cycle, hopefully I can start implementing some things and finding where the gaps are and starting to do some more community oriented stuff. Yeah. But honestly, I feel a little bit, I don't want to say behind, but everything is new for the first time. And that's just about everything for me here. And kind of to answer that last question a little bit further, there's just a lot of things that I never had to do in Fairbanks, like going and checking the mail or double checking with the biologists about certain things and kind of planning things for the future. Literally, it was a lot simpler before, where all I had to do was either be out patrolling, write tickets, and then finish my reports about those tickets in time to where, or quick enough to where I can get back out there. There's just so many more things going on here where I gotta, you know, I gotta buy supplies for my next patrol, or I gotta do a 100-hour on my engines, on my jet skiff, maintenance. And so it's really cool. But it definitely is a shift. And sometimes it's a little bit difficult when you get to the end of the day and you think, man, what did I really do today? Just because there's so many things besides patrolling, which I'm not quite used to that. So still getting the hang of that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kyle. Definitely, I can understand that. I'm a one-man team here, too. A lot of people in Wrangell are one-man shows as well. So I get it. And then we can go to break pretty soon, but let me see. What did I want to ask? Oh, you mentioned commercial fishing. I'm wondering, like, no, that's not what I want to ask. I'm sorry, Kyle. So you mentioned you talk to the biologists every so often. Are you just talking to the biologists about, hey, keep me up to date on what the rules and regulations are, or are you talking about other things?
There's definitely that kind of, hey, what's going on and what's coming up that I'm not seeing. So kind of, I usually talk with the biologists to hopefully get a little bit better of a bigger picture than if I were just to decipher all these news releases on my own. So I definitely lean on them for that and try to get a good understanding of what's coming down the pipe. And then not just that, but also a lot of them have just been around here. So they know sometimes more of who's who and what's what and where people might be and where to focus time and where it's not, maybe not worth spending as much time. And so sometimes I'll go for them to get some knowledge on where to patrol and how to patrol. And then I kind of take that and make some decisions off that. So.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's pretty smart. As a reporter, I can understand that would be a good resource for you. Just, hey, what's up? What does it look like? You weren't used to patrolling on the water, and now you patrol on the water. What does that look like?
Yeah. So before coming here, I'd been on the ocean a couple times. I think when I was at the academy in Sitka, a friend of mine had a boat, and so we went out a couple times on that boat. Otherwise, I'd just kind of been on jet skiffs in the interior, but the ocean is essentially brand new to me, so I went down to the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Georgia. That was earlier this year. They kind of have a law enforcement marine division where they kind of teach you how to drive boats and navigate and do law enforcement type things on boats. And so that was a really good course. And so, but essentially what it ends up being for me is, on any given day, I can be patrolling out the road or patrolling on the water. And a lot of my time is spent on the water. As long as I don't have stuff that's kind of tying me to the island, I try to be on the water. And that changes all the time, how much I'm able to be out and how much I'm not able to be out. But that's kind of part of the goal, is to hopefully be out as much as possible. Yeah. But it's been really fun. Really fun to learn. I'm not exactly I'm okay with doing stuff by myself. How do I say this? But I'm not too aggressive when it comes to stuff like that. So I'm definitely a little cautious when it comes to weather, and I don't want to push those lines. It's all pretty new to me, so It's been a good time enjoying learning how to run the skiff. And I just have I think it's a 22-foot bay weld it's a small cab, but it's essentially fully enclosed. And so it's pretty comfortable, and I can do quite a bit with it. I have a lot of range, and so I can do quite a bit. I'll go out for day trips or overnight trips, and sometimes I'll even just sleep on the boat and just put a hammock up in the bow or something and put a tarp up. But it's been a good summer to learn, and it's been fun being on the water.
Right on. Well, Keep yourself safe, Kyle.
Yeah.
And before we go to break, give me a sense of, how much of your time is focused on maybe commercial users versus sport users?
It just kind of depends on what's open. Yeah. So a lot of times, if there's a commercial season that's open, I'll go out with the intention to try to get contact with the commercial users. And then if I don't find anybody, usually I find the sport fishers, the sport fishermen, typically. It's kind of a, sport fishing is, it's always an easy fallback because usually there's always somebody out. So, but it just kind of depends on what's open. So, yeah, it definitely varies.
All right, Kyle. Well, thank you very much. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. I probably haven't been manning the phone as well as I should have, but now is a good time to call if you have any questions for Kyle. That number is 874-2345. All right, we are back. The time is 1:20. We have your wildlife trooper, Kyle Freeberg, in the studio today. Kyle, how long have you been here?
Let's see, since April. So what's that? May, June, July, August, September, October. 6 months. Okay. 6 months.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, a lot for 6 months. Okay, so you told us what your day-to-day looks like and how that changes. Give me a sense of what kind of tickets have you written since you've been here?
Yeah, it's definitely been a full 6 months. Lots of learning, lots of experience, figuring stuff out. Kind of some of the stuff that I've run into here. A lot of sport fish stuff. Over limits of rockfish, undersized kings, using sport caught fish as bait. Some sport fish guide stuff. There was a kind of a short window where I actually ran into quite a bit of sport fish guides kind of essentially not keeping their clients in line, and so having some issues with the clients, and therefore the guides getting cited for the clients' violations, basically. Some other things. Not having shrimp permits. There was some little bit of snagging and freshwater going on. Just to clarify with that one, some people basically look for the signs. Fishing game has signs up. So if you see the signs, you got to stay outside of the sign for snagging. You can snag in saltwater. You can't snag in freshwater. And what you also can't do is you can't stand on the saltwater side of the line and cast into the freshwater side of the sign either. So a little bit of that. Some gill netting in closed areas. There was a little bit of some big game guide stuff that happened earlier this year. Really? Can't talk too much about that. That one's still kind of going on, but some big game guides. A lot of times what happens here is on the commercial side of things. So I kind of get the impression that oftentimes people get bent out of shape because they say, well, you guys are just picking on the commercial fishermen. This is how they make their living. And I completely understand that. But what people have to realize too is when people choose to make choose to make a living off of the state's resources, they are held to a higher standard. And that should be important to us as a community, because this is the state's resource. This is our resource. And so these people, it's perfectly fine. And it is good. And I'm glad that we have people who are able to do this. But as soon as you start making a living off the state's resources, there are rules to follow. And that's what I'm here for. So, that also doesn't change though when you're just trying to feed your family by going out and catching fish too. It's kind of the same thing. These resources are, they're not eternal, mm-hmm. and we should take that serious as a community so that these are around for us and our kids.
Yeah, exactly. Very true, Kyle. Thank you for that. And I mean, you know, if all the fishermen are doing their part, then that's what the state expects. So I see what you're saying.
And there's a lot of stuff that goes into that too, with the commercial side of it, whether it's fishing or big game guiding. There is, when there's one guy who decides to not play by the rules, he is, depending on the circumstances, he's gaining a competitive advantage over the other people who are also trying to make that same living. And in many ways, depending on what it is, you're almost essentially stealing from your neighbors when you're doing that. Because if they were able to break the law too, then they would be able to make just as much money as you did. Or maybe when it comes to sport fish guiding, the guy who breaks the rules and lets stuff slip by, he's able to sell a better trip to his clients, and therefore he could be essentially stealing clients from the rest of the sport fish guides. So it's not just about managing the amount of resources, but it's also about keeping it fair. This is something that we all need to be able to partake in evenly. So a couple of other things that kind of happened here. There was, many people probably heard about the brown bear that was killed on the back channel. There was no tickets written with that, but that was kind of a situation where a brown bear needed to be put down after having several encounters with some campers on the back channel earlier this spring. I also have a situation that I kind of want to bring up so that people know, if they don't know about it. I'd like help on a case with a poached black-tailed deer up on Middle Ridge. So this deer was found a few weeks back, and it appears to have been shot in the head in the road and left. Was not gutted. Nothing was taken. No antlers were taken. No meat was taken. So there's not a lot. It kind of seems obvious what happened, but I'm kind of reaching out to the community to see if there's any way that anybody, to see if anybody has any information on that. This is kind of as bad as it gets. Just like shoot it and leave it. That's bad. There's the type of poacher who is kind of bent on breaking the rules to put meat in the freezer. That's kind of one thing. That's illegal. But it's another level of bad when you're just out there to cause trouble and shoot and leave it. And the rack on this thing, it was a 4x4. I mean, it was a beautiful deer. Wow. And just shot and left. And this is something that this community should be outraged over. And something I want to kind of, I'll put it out there right now. Maybe we'll come back to it too. But so there's a way that people can report violations anonymously here. It's called the Wildlife Safeguard Program, but it is truly an anonymous tip line where you can call in and say, hey, this is what I know. You can give as little or as much information as you want. You don't have to say your name. And that actually goes to Ketchikan Dispatch, and then they basically send it to whoever it's appropriate to, and they can deal with it as they will. But the number is 1-800-478-3377. That's 1-800-478-3377. So again, that is a truly anonymous tip line. And what I'm hoping here is that we can start moving. I'm hoping that we can start utilizing that. I get it. We live on an island. We don't necessarily want to call in on our neighbors and call the trooper, but this is something that we need to take responsibility for. And I was kind of even thinking, like, maybe I should come up with some kind of slogan, like, like Smokey the Bear or something. Like, only you can prevent poaching, you know? And that's true, because the reality is I'm one guy with a badge. I just happen to be the person who can take people to court and actually prosecute when it comes to violations. But I'm not the guy who's out there every day. I mean, I'm out there as much as I can be, but this is the responsibility of this community. And that's what I'm really hoping. When I was talking about kind of long-term goals and stuff for this place, that's kind of the type of thing that I want to start moving in the direction of, is a community that is able to take responsibility for their resources and kind of not take matters into their own hands, but kind of. I mean, I want Wrangell to be upset and to do something about it. So instead of just kind of coming up to me and saying, well, yeah, I know about, I can guarantee you that people are out there doing X, Y, and Z. And then I say, oh, really? Who is it? And like, I can't tell you that, man. You know, I just, you know, snitches get stitches, you know? And it's like, well, and I get it. And it seems that a lot of people on this island have that attitude of the island and the area have that attitude of, like, I don't want to dime out my neighbor, but the reality is nothing's going to happen unless you do something about it. So if Wrangell wants to take matters into their own hand, then do it anonymously, because to get charged criminally is what needs to happen. I mean, that's kind of a good end game, is holding people's feet to the fire.
Yeah. Kyle, what does it take for you to solve a case? You know, what does it take for you to do any sort of enforcement where you are not catching somebody in the act, or, you know, or checking their regs or whatever?
Let me see if I understand your question. Like, how does somebody get charged with something if I'm not catching them myself? So basically, the standard is proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So that can take many forms, but a witness is a pretty good one. A witness is good evidence. And I don't think people realize that. There's kind of people, I've kind of heard people say things like, oh yeah, you'll never figure that one out. All it takes is one person who knows something, or one person who saw something, and stuff can stop. I do want to put out there too, people probably remember the moose that was shot and left last year. And I wasn't here. What I understand though is that people here were outraged enough to where there was a big reward put out. I just want to put that out there, that this case, that case is still open. And anybody who has any information, you can call me, or you can call that number, the wildlife safeguard number, and you can even report anonymously. That's 1-800-478-3377. So, yeah, I want people to know that case is not done and over with. It is, we're still working on it. It's not my case, because I wasn't here. But I just talked with the trooper who's in charge of it, and they're still working on it. They need it. They need information though, and so anybody who knows anything needs to step up.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. So, you know, when would they close the case? I mean, when would they say, we're not going to find this person, we're going to close it?
It kind of depends. A lot of times, cases like that they'll get. Cases closed pending further evidence of investigatory value. So essentially closed until further notice. Mm-hmm. So cases can be closed in that fashion, pretty quickly, but that doesn't mean that they're over with. The initial case can be closed out, but it's kind of like, the officers who are in charge of those cases might just always be looking, kind of always have it in the back of their mind, hoping to find something someday that's going to lead to finishing that finishing that case. But and that might be this case where we just kind of sit on and wait and hope that something happens in the future. But hopefully not. Hopefully we can come up with some bit of information.
Yeah, why would they not close it in that manner?
I guess when I say it's still open, I'm just saying that's what the trooper told me. I haven't looked at the case specifically to see if it very well may be closed pending further evidence, technically. But a case isn't really closed unless a trooper has filed it away in their mind as something that they're never going to even look at again.
Yeah, exactly.
So on paper, it might be closed, but cases never really close if they're not solved to an officer who is persistent and they're always thinking. I mean, you always have a filing cabinet in the back of your mind of cases that never really got fixed or solved. Mm-hmm. And 10 years down the line, you can find somebody who did the same thing, and now you have facts that line up and they match a story that you're very familiar with that happened 10 years ago, you know, so stuff like that. But technically, that case very well may be closed pending evidence, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, but you did talk to the trooper and it's still in the back of his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're still looking, so yeah.
Right on. Okay, and then we can wrap up here shortly. So, you know, we have this anonymous line. So you can call in without giving your name. But what happens once this is going to be prosecuted? You know, maybe people are wondering, well, at that point, am I going to have to give my name? What does that look like?
So I don't know the legality of how they were able to work around this. But people say, oh, yeah, I know how it works. Sure, I reported anonymously, but as soon as it gets to court, I'm going to have to testify. With the wildlife safeguard, that's not necessarily the case. If you do not want to testify, you can remain anonymous. Again, I don't know exactly how they worked around that. It is something that the department has come up with so that they can work around. Essentially, we get a tip, and whatever that information is, it kind of stays that way. So I literally, if I get a tip that is truly anonymous, I literally get a typed out description of what the person said, and if they don't want to be talked to, then they won't leave their number or anything, and I'll just literally have this essentially a piece of paper to go off of, and that's what it is, and then I can move forward with that, and that the person is completely removed from it.
Yeah. Okay, right on. Good to know. Okay, so Kyle, we can wrap up here pretty shortly. Let's just end on, you know, you've been here for 6 months. Before you came here, we were relying on Cody and Petersburg to fill in for your role. I mean, what has changed since you've been here?
So Cody and I collectively have an area. It kind of depends on how you look at it, but between Cody and I, our patrol area is somewhere between like 8,000 and 10,000 square miles. Like it's a pretty big area. And so when I wasn't here, Cody was kind of as needed going throughout that entire area, which is, you could imagine, not that effective. And what it essentially came down to was I imagine he would probably respond when he got a call, or when somebody had a tip about something happening down here, is probably mostly when he came down here, and then the occasional just patrolling through. But the reality is, we can now have a better presence here. For example, a lot of the stuff that I had mentioned, a lot of these tickets that I wrote, I wasn't with Cody when they happened necessarily, so a lot of those things would have just kind of gone without being noticed if I wasn't here. So it kind of goes without saying, where you have more presence and you have more, hopefully more, compliance. And what's actually happened recently is Cody has been promoted to sergeant, so he's my supervisor now. And we're actually getting another trooper in Petersburg to take Cody's place. So in this area, and we're do work together quite a bit. But now there's going to be three of us, actually, which will be really beneficial. That other trooper is going to be in Petersburg with Cody. But we will essentially have another trooper to cover the area. So I think it's all very good.
Yeah.
We'll see how this, we'll see how it fares.
Yeah.
Very cool, Kyle. So thank you for telling us about your day job and what that means for the community and how the community can help out. Right before we leave, what's that number again?
Yeah, it's 1-800-478-3377. And that's called the Wildlife Safeguard. And just remember that only you can prevent poachers.
It sounds good. Make stickers.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Only you can prevent poaching. Maybe I'll make a mascot or something.
Yeah. Yeah, what would you choose? What animal?
I thought about that that poached 4x4 black-tail deer.
Oh.
Kind of as a, it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of as bad as it gets. So maybe kind of as a reminder of, like, this is what we need to stop. Maybe I could reincarnate the tragically poached,
yeah,
very beautiful black-tail deer that nobody got to put in their freezer, and maybe move it towards promoting good and stopping this from happening in the future.
Yeah, right on. You can use a real life example. That's cool. Okay, Kyle, thank you so much.
Thanks, June.
All right, the time is 1:41. We've been listening to Kyle Freeberg, your wildlife trooper, talk about what he does. As always, we will be back next week with another guest. Peace out.